Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples talking with City Manager Ron Fear, Mayor Mike Dodson here, as the Manhattan City Commission has their first meeting of the new year coming up tonight, 7 o'clock at City Hall. And, of course, you can also view that on Cox Cable Channel 3, and they stream those online, cityofmhk.com, and I think also on the Facebook page, if I'm not mistaken. So all sorts of ways to get informed here, and we're doing our little service here to you as we preview the meeting here tonight as well. We've talked a little bit about what's on the general agenda. I see one of the items, item B here, is the first reading of a charter ordinance to increase the transient guest tax. Maybe you could explain that, Ron.
Sure. So the transient guest tax is the rate that hotels charge folks that are staying in their hotel rooms. It's currently at 7%, and the primary consideration here is a desire to expand the conference center downtown on the south end of the district, and we're looking at a $3 to $4 million expansion to that facility. And the discussion that's occurred to date relative to how do we fund that would be an increase in that transient guest tax or that visitor's sales tax that is charged when you it's usually kind of sometimes called a bed tax. Mm-hmm. For folks that are staying in the community, and obviously the conference center draws in a lot of folks that stay in hotels, and so that's a fairly typical way of helping to pay for some of that. The current transient guest tax does pay for a portion of the current conference center debt service, and so this would generate enough funds, we believe, to cover the cost of that expansion. And so that's really here the consideration. The charter ordinance is a little bit unique, and when we say a charter ordinance, this is where a city has home rule powers to establish something that's a little different than maybe exists across the state that isn't meant to be uniform. So the state may have a rule that you can only have a 5% transient guest tax, but some of those aren't necessarily binding, and cities can adjust that rate if they so desire, but in order to do so, they have to pass a charter ordinance. And so it's really just an extra step. So it gives more public notice, a longer period of time to adopt a charter ordinance to ensure that folks should hear about this proposal and can weigh in more often. It's almost like three considerations of a action item instead of normal two making this increase or change in the issue. And they vary across the state. Overland Park currently has the highest transient guest tax rate at about 9%. Then there's a string of several several in the Kansas City area, also Dodge City, that are at 8%, Topeka and us and Hutch and Emporia and are all at 7% currently. Salina's at 6.7%, and you can actually do these in tenth of a percent increments if you want to, and then there's a whole slug of them that are at 6%. So that tends to be fairly competitive, but again, a lot of the communities utilize those transient guest tax proceeds. Obviously, it's one of the main purposes is to help generate tourism and visitors to your community, as well as conventions. So working with Convention and Visitors Bureau, that's a big component of helping to fund those activities. So it's not unusual to be able to utilize this mechanism to help fund that type of construction.
All right, we've got our first caller on the line here this morning. Good morning, you're on In Focus. What can we do for you?
Thank you so much for talking about the fundraising and things that are not uniform across the state. You know, they're talking about the price of gas in Manhattan now is $2.11, and across the state it's $1.93. If we get that adjusted, we could use that money, the difference in what they're gouging us and the price of gas here in town, to put in that whatever tax you're just now talking about, fundraiser, to get the money to do the Marlette Bridge with. You know, there's a solution for you that you can ignore.
No, it's a good suggestion. You know, it's one that we've talked about often, and it's many other states have the ability to put in a local option increase to the gas tax. Unfortunately, in Kansas, we don't have that ability, nor do we have the ability to regulate the prices of that particular commodity. But it would be obviously, you know, one of the things that Brandon and I was going to mention coming up tomorrow, the City Commission is going to host our area legislators for a legislative luncheon at noon in City Hall. And certainly transportation funding is a big item in our platform, and one where we haven't seen really any significant change to the funding structure of infrastructure, whether statewide or nationally. And so obviously that hasn't kept pace. There's been, you know, fuel efficiency has gone way up, but the amount of money going to help fund that infrastructure basically has been flat or declined in real time and in real amounts, just because you know, it was put on when the average miles per gallon was probably 11, and obviously that's at least doubled for most vehicles, mm-hmm. if not a lot more. And so, and then you have a lot of alternative fuels that aren't even using that fuel. And so a lot of states have gone to a wheel tax or different other type of things that's a little more uniform, because, you know, and obviously there's variation on damage to those roadways based on weight and other components. So, you know, that funding system is pretty messed up, and it's been a constant point of debate nationally and statewide as to funding for infrastructure. But appreciate the caller's viewpoint. Currently in Kansas, we don't have an ability to put that gas tax component on there. And obviously, yeah, it's frustrating to travel around the state and see that you're the highest in the state and in your particular area. So it's always difficult to try to understand what that's all about.
Yeah,
on the, just to kind of reemphasize the point, the difference is not in tax. The difference between the 211 or the 218 locally and the $1.93 in Wichita, for example, is not a result of tax. It's just a result of the retail price of gasoline that people charge. So the other thing we have to keep in mind is Kansas is relatively high already in state tax that's added on to in the sale of gasoline. And as Ron said, when you factor in electric cars, the calculation we did years ago of the rising number of gallons of gasoline that would be consumed would keep pace with the requirements to pay for the roadways, and that's just gone the opposite direction. So there does need to be another formula.
Absolutely. When, you know, getting back to the transit and gas tax here, we had Karen Hibbert on the other day from the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and she mentioned, I think they had more than 200 conferences here last year, generating, you know, around $21 million to tourism here in the area. I mean, so this increase here, that's only going to help, I would imagine, boost that.
Absolutely. So, you know, that was part of the motivation here, is that a lot of communities are making adjustments to their conference facilities in their community and to maintain competitiveness. You know, ours is, even though ours is fairly new, we've outgrown or are close to being able to, or outgrowing some of the folks that have utilized us. We're a popular destination. I think she probably told you we're popular in that you can walk out the door and walk to restaurants and entertainment and in a downtown setting, which is very favorable because most of our competition in the state is not located in that particular area. So you have to drive to those locations. So, you know, that's something that we need to continue to build on. And part of that, too, is being able to host several smaller gatherings at multiple times in the same facility. So that's just increasing our ability to have flexible space, have breakout spaces, have exhibitor spaces, that sort of thing, that to accommodate and make our facilities more appealing. because I think the overall attraction of the community and the area surrounding the conference center in the downtown atmosphere is already a very, very high positive.
Yeah, this is largely about competition. I mean, we have to outcompete all of those who are seeking those kind of finite, actually, number of conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people aren't going around inventing new conferences every day. So there is a fixed number, and we've got to do our best to make sure that we're at the top of the heap when it comes to what people feel about where they want to go. And this 7.5 will give us the ability to help pay for something that ordinarily we'd have to pay for in a different way. And the owner of the hotel is also in on this funding effort. So everybody's got a little skin in the game, which is always a good thing.
All right. We got another caller on the line, and then we need to get to a break here. Let's go ahead and take the caller real quick. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, you got to realize that Manhattan's off the beaten path. That's one reason. Probably this fuel is more here. You got to come in all the way from bringing the fuel in. You got to come all the way in from the interstate. That's one thing. Another question I've got: these little buses you got running around, what are they, AFS, whatever they are,
ATA
buses. Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, why don't you have a curb cut so they can pull over off of the main road when they're picking people up? I mean, it's kind of a hazard because right out there in the middle of the road, I know they're not school buses. They're just little dinky buses we got running around town. I don't know why they can't be pulled off the side into the curb cut or something so they're out of sight of the traffic flow. What's your thinking on that?
So, great question. And obviously, we're relatively new in our fixed route transportation system. The stops that they're making right now are somewhat experimental. So because they're fairly young in their routes, matter of fact, we just expanded it to 5 routes and made modifications. So what we're trying to do is really look at, okay, what is this particular stop the right location, and what's the, is it working? Is there good demand at that location? And then there are some funds that we plan to try to access to make some of those modifications to the roadway to better accommodate permanent pullouts if that's proving to be a very good spot to do that so that it doesn't disrupt traffic flow as much as improve safety. So at this point, we're really trying to confirm that this is a good location, because obviously if it ends up, we're only getting 2% ridership from that stop versus 20% ridership from that stop, then do we really want to make the investment to do the pullout if it's going to be abandoned? So that's really what we're looking at now. And we'll probably be doing that for a couple more years just to make sure that that's a good viable stop.
And I'd say the ridership, since the route change, is up almost double. So that's good for the economic health of the whole ATA. And as Ron said, we've got already done a lot of planning on what those bus stops ought to look like so people can be out of the sun and the rain.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a time out here. We'll come back more with Ron Fear, Mike Dodson, when we return on In Focus News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance specialist.